Okay, all right. Greetings to you all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. This is a new series called Discipleship. It's going to be serious. Also, as the caption shows here, turning people into disciples. Few questions that we can ponder before starting our session here. I'll be reading loudly one by one. No need to answer, okay? This is a self-examination and to ourselves, right? We can question and see where exactly we're standing. And then maybe the next few sessions are going to help us out to build our character, to turn into his likeness. First question, what does God have on his heart? The answer, if we know the vision is nothing but spiritual vision is nothing but it's a divine perspective, it's enlightenment, or it's a light or insight. When we know the God's vision, spiritual vision, then we will come to know what is in his heart. We recently completed our study on Pauline letters, 1 Colossians 1:9, it says, Paul prays for the Colossae church, saying that they would come to the knowledge of his will and also the spiritual understanding. What is there in his God is nothing but people, all the people on this planet. That is there on his God because we are all his image. Second question I'm highlighting here. What should be at the heart of the believer's dreams and visions? Now we know vision. Vision is nothing but spiritual enlightenment or illumination. Whatever God is having, being his children, we're supposed to have the same thing. That kind of spiritual adjustment must be there between God's vision and our vision. So nothing but since God, he is having in his heart people, we also must have that same vision. That is nothing but people. There is one strongest verse from Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, people perish. We are all here in Dallas, DFW area. God has put here with some plan and purpose. It is not, absolutely, it is not accidental. There is plan and purpose. And we know that when we have that vision, people will not get perished. Otherwise, there is a saying, no vision, total failure. If we have vision, if we have plan, if we have the action, there is nothing but full spiritual productivity gives. Why, if we have vision, why there are almost out of five people, four in the world, right? They are poorly evangelized and also they are poorly educated in discipleship area, in the substance and strategy of the gospel. It's a very sad and tragic situation. We know so many converts and all, how many are true disciples. If you see them, right? How we will come to them means by seeing the fruit, we'll come to know really they are true disciples of Christ or not. Very sad to say that out of five people, four, right, still they are not fully evangelized or not fully, they're not aware what they are, what they are for. The kind of Christianity revealed in the book of Acts have tolerated this kind of situation. We are put up here in the Louisville area or in the DFW area. Just think what would happen if early Christians or early churches. If they see this kind of situation, it's nothing but spectator Christianity. Also, I'm sorry to use this word, pew potatoes. Even I was like that once upon a time. Pew potato means coming, sitting, listening to the sermons, going out. Coming out Wednesday or Sunday without doing. Absolutely unemployed. For the Christ ministries. That was my situation, previous situation. Imagine if the early Christians, they were here, what they would do in the Louisville area. We all know, we study Acts 2:42. Every day, right, they come together in house to house. They do all those things. They steadfastly doing the apostles, studying the apostles' doctrine, listening to the apostles, having the fellowship, breaking the bread, prayers. Imagine if they are here, what they would do. Just no need to answer to these questions. Then what is the difference between Acts Christianity and our Christianity or our current church Christianity? The Jesus of today's church is different of Jesus of the 8th time, first century time. Absolutely no. The same Jesus, he never changes. He's same yesterday, today, and tomorrow also. Is the Holy Spirit God is different? No, absolutely. Whatever the God they have, even in their hearts, same God even indwells in our hearts as well. Is the Bible different? Yes, they don't have Bible. Whatever apostles they did, whatever they written, that became the Bible, New Testament, Acts of the Apostles. Yes, we have all sorts of privileges. We have even so many AI, artificial intelligence tools up there to know about that. They do not have any communication. They used to go on donkeys or walk, but we have all sorts of cars, even bullet trains. We can go, even we are going into the space nowadays, very quickly going and coming. So we are very rich comparatively, resources-wise. So that is the only difference. We have Bible, they do not have Bible. We do, but even with that advantage, right, nowhere we are impacting their spiritual realms. Compact. We are not impacting the society or the vicinity, wherever we are. So part of this series, first week one, we will be covering, Lord willing, introduction to disciple making, qualities of disciples, or characteristics of the disciples. The second week, priority of disciple making. Third week, process of disciple making. And for last week, Lord willing, power of disciple making. We have a word of prayer before starting our session. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this privilege, Lord, to come to you and to worship, Father. On this Sunday with a like-minded believer, Father, open our hearts, open our eyes to see you, Father. Give us the ears to hear you and show obedience to your word, Father. Yes, Lord, your word is there. It's a living, powerful Father, which can dissect, which can pierce our soul and spirit, Father. Thank you for that word, Father. Speak to our hearts this evening and help us to treasure all these things in our hearts and glorify you, Father. Ask all these things in the mighty name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay. Before we enter into the serious part, can anybody guess what kind of fruit it is? Peaches. If you know the benefits of that peach fruit, definitely you'll enjoy it. Not only you enjoy it, you go and tell your neighbor benefits of it. Also, you will not miss almost right you take every day after seeing the hidden speech, sorry, hidden benefits of that fruit. Just I'm giving you some benefits having that fruit, right? Definitely because of the resources of potassium regulates your blood pressure, regulates your cholesterol, it regulates your blood sugar level. So many are there. Also, it boosts your immunity. There are so many. Now, I'm sure you'll go and tell to other people. Also, you will eat it. Okay. Just thinking, single fruit, if it is helping our physical health, it is helping to check our health status, check our spiritual health status, how to grow spiritually also. Okay. Introduction, going to the important part, knowing if you know the concept or when you understand exactly what it is behind it, you will definitely do it. You will show obedience. If you do not know because of your ignorance, that is the same. Ignorance of the laws of sin. If you're not knowing that, we'll be ignoring it and not doing it. That's why knowing or studying the concepts are very, very important. Part of today's session, we'll be thoroughly, we'll be studying on disciple, the word disciple. Paul Swindoll, he says, no group in history has proven itself more effective than the first century evangelistic team, the inner core of Christmen. We all know who is Charles Swindoll. To check why the difference, why there is a large gap, why after 2,000 years also, we're not going to impact such a level. Typical Christians are unemployed. Yes, we are coming, sitting, going, listening. We get so many messages, Wednesday messages, Sunday two messages. How much we are remembering all those things? Are we really employing for the Christ? The Christ stand of employment, yes. We are seeing unemployment, and also, typically, we are employed and working for the ministries. Even they are underemployed. They're not, the maximization is not up to the mark. The utilization factor is not 100%. Yes, we are doing the ministry work, but not up to the mark that God has expected. It is not up to the Christ standard. So training process, our Lord Jesus Christ, he shown the large factor. He involves the gigantic word called disciples. The model what he followed our Lord Jesus Christ, 3.5 years, all the 12 people, just leave the 1%, 11 people. How much his time he spent, the supermodel, Alexandrian uncle, he calls it a supermodel, the pattern, whatever he followed, that We'll definitely discuss that one, how he identified, how he called, how he achieved, how he trained, how he sent to the world. That we will be doing, checking the training process as well, part of this introduction. And also, if you see, Christian, the word Christian, it is used three times in the New Testament, whereas the word disciple, the first five books of New Testament, used 269 times. So that is the importance of disciple here. Disciple, we can use it as noun or we can use it as verb. Verb is nothing but when we are doing some action, that is called verb. The Great Commission, we are seeing, we all know the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19, 20. It has two halves. First half, we all know that. Go and make disciples, all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is the first half. Very, very important. The second half, if it comes 20th words, says, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded them to do. I am always with you. Lo, I am always with you till the end of the, some verses says, till the end of the world. Whatever the importance the first half is carrying, same importance the 20th words, teaching them to do or to observe all the things that I have taught or I have commanded. So equal importance, right? For the first half, we get importance and we get the numbers also. If we go out and do the gospel ministry, if they are believing, right, we count them into our account. Whereas for the second half, teaching them, lot of our Bible teachers, right, they're equipping us and teaching, but no way they will get the credit. But he is seeing everything, okay. In the due time, we will get all the rewards. Their job is to building our character, turning the people into, turning the converts into disciples. That is the, that's why both halves are important. First half of the Great Commission, second half of the commission is very, very important. They carry the same equal validity. Just I want to give an illustration about the first half and second half. You want to take the food, what we do, right? We take with a spoon or even I take with hand. What we do, that we take the food and we keep that food in our mouth. Okay? So that is nothing but first half. Going and preaching the gospel and bringing them to Christ. That's it. And then the second part, what happens? We chew it. And then the food, it goes inside, and we all know how it is turning into energy or how it is becoming part of our body. Same thing. When you go and preach the gospel and bring him to Christ, it is keeping your food right in your mouth. You never turn into energy, or it will never turn, it will never part of your body. When it will go and it will become part of the body means when you chew it and when you send it inside, then all the digestion process takes place and then we get the, it becomes a part of the body. So same thing, when you bring people to Christ and then when you equip them, when you train them, when you teach what whatever our Lord Jesus Christ had taught them to follow each commandment. I'm not telling to become legalistic here. But whatever, up to your capacity, because God has given us the Holy Spirit, God, and He helps us. He makes the things easy. So when we follow Him, right, that is nothing but the food, it will becoming the part of the body. Same thing, all the converts, all whoever unsaved people believed and came to the Christ, they will become the body of Christ. I just thought of giving that illustration. So ultimately, building of the body of Christ or turning people into disciples, that is the motto of this session. That is a part introduction to all. Okay, now come back to the gigantic word called disciple. A disciple, so many times I myself mentioned the original Greek term, it is nothing but mathetes. Mathetes means it's nothing but student or learner or follower or apprentice or adherent. Adherent means adhesive tape. When you stick something right, it will be sticking to the tape. So same thing, student or pupil or the learner or follower. What he does is always he's sticking, adhesing to the master or the teacher. Always he will be attaching, associated. When he is associated, okay, now we have digital rooms or we have Zoom calls and all. Leave it. That is not the important thing. Student means he must be associated, he must be in person. Then only he can learn from the master. So that is nothing but disciples here, associated with the masters and Bible mentions Acts 11, 26. First time, Christians, they are disciples, they are called Christians because the way they are following Christ, after seeing them, right, in the mockery way, they called disciples, all the disciples, whoever there, They called Christians. That is the Bible says, Acts 11:26. However, Mathetes is nothing but even a mathematics word. It has derived from that. When we do all these problems exercises, right, we will become more proficient, we will become more perfect. That is the original Greek term called. It's nothing but Christians are called disciples. And then I would like to just point out, we have very few time here. Just what Bible says, it's nothing but definitions or qualities or characteristics, whatever you name it. But what Bible is saying about disciples, we can check, we can cross-examine ourselves. Are we really doing that or not? Are we really true disciples or not? First one is nothing but John 8:31 says, Jesus said to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you go to us, libraries in the US, right? So many libraries I could see, public libraries, says truthful information, it liberates you. When we know that is a physical thing, when you come to the spiritual part, when we really know the truth, truth is nothing but whatever the words that Jesus spoke or whatever the teachings our Lord has given, are all truth that liberates from the ignorance, that liberates from the sin. You never dare to enough to do the sin. We really know that. If you abide or if you are continuing to study the word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says, very powerful word. It is the living, powerful, and which pierces the soul, spirit, and also joints and marrows. The last two words it says, it is the discerner of your thoughts and also your inner heart. Inner thoughts. It has the capability. In Telugu, in my mother language, I was seeing it distinguishes what is good and what is bad. It has the power to cut to pierce your soul and spirit joints and marrows. That is the power of word of God. If you read it and if you study it, if you continue it, you will come to know what is truth, what is not true. The reason why I'm saying the true disciple, he will continue the word. We are living in the era of artificial intelligence. You really don't know what is true, what is lie, what is false. It confuses you and it gives you a picture as if it is real, but it is not real. We are living in a deceptive world. So that's why when you have the word of God, hard copy, not the soft copy also, when you have the word of God, when you refer, every problem, it has the solution. Bible has the solution. If you go and if you continue, if you read it, if you study it, if you understand right, you will get the solution. That is the truth. That sets you free. That gives you the freedom from the sin. That's why the true disciples, he always continues in the word of God. Even in Psalms 1:1, we all know how they delight in the law. Also, they meditated day and night. Without word, right? They're ignorant and they're blind and they cannot see the things. Want to see the things, you must abide in the word of God. A few verses are given here, John 6:45, 1 John 2:24. Since we do not have time, we are not going there. But second definition, let's take the second definition. One more very powerful hard saying, very strongest statements. Who carries his cross, his or her cross daily? It's nothing but denying ourselves and taking up the cross and follows. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone come after me, desires to come after me, they have to let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. Understanding the meaning of the carrying the cross to take all these things, right? Romans 12:1. It says, living sacrifice, I beseech you, brethren, therefore submit your bodies as living sacrifice. I wanted to give one more small story that happened in the life of D.L. Moody when he was traveling in the local train in the Chicago. People are, I always given, I already given this story. Once again, I'm repeating because of the significance behind it. He was traveling along with other people in the local train. People, right? It takes minimum 45 to 1 hour to reach the downtown of Dallas, right? Chicago. People, they do not know what to do. We have phone central now. We can do something in the phone. But in those days, right? No phones. So they started playing the cards. And asked D.L. Moody, are you also sitting free? Why don't you come and play, join with us and play the cards? He said, I do not have my hands. He said, are you joking? You have two hands. We are seeing you have all the legs, everything fine. Why don't you come and join with us? He said, yes, I have my hands, but those hands, not me, not mine. They're purchased by my Lord. He purchased me and whatever the hands I have. That's why I cannot come and play with you. That is, he himself, right, living sacrifice, he is doing and doing some, he is completely sacrificing. You can go and play, nobody ask. That is the way to live. All the disciples, right, delivers a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That is the acceptable service to God. Number two, 5:24 Galatians, it says, crucifying our flesh with the passions and desires. Crucifixion means once we fix on the nails, that's it, it will not come down. All our desires and passions, we're supposed to nail it to the cross. When we nail it, automatically we will be denying ourselves and we will not be fulfilling our desires. When we allow that one, right, all these things, all the consequences will be facing. That very clearly says in Galatians 5:24, true disciple is nothing but who crucifies his flesh, the flesh with its passions and desires. 6:14 Galatians, it says, world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. But whether he was reading just in the first session, yes, we supposed to not love the world. We have to crucify the world, and automatically it will crucify us because we are not mingling with it. Even when we are living in our community, they do a lot of festivals and all. We will not be involving with them. They see us as odd men out because we are experiencing it. Because we are not going to their birthday parties, or we are not going to their worship services, pujas, all those things. They treat us differently. Yes, they crucify us. We're supposed to crucify them. What is the benefit? What is the friendship between world and us? Absolutely, there is no partnership with the Christ and Belial here. And also, Luke 14:25, leaving all. This is one more very powerful word. Leaving your children, leaving your father, mother, wife, everything, like for Christ's sake. Doesn't mean that you are not taking care of them. One more time, I've given already this illustration once. When we are seeing the sun, yes, stars are also there in the sun in the sky. But in front of the illumination, the brightness of the sun, we cannot see the stars. Yes, stars are there, but only we are seeing the sun. It takes the precedence. Same thing when Christ is there, our parents or our wife or children, they will not come into picture. First focus and first precedence Christ takes. That's why we supposed to true disciples, he leaves all. See the 11 disciples, how they left everything and they followed the Christ, and also they went onto the world, leaving him and following whatever God says. That is a true disciple he does. And then one more strongest statement, whoever does not bear his cross, come after me, he cannot my disciples. So Bible very clearly it insists we supposed to carry our cross, not weekly ones, daily. There is one more saying, martyr, he dies only one at a time in their lifetime. But Christian, right, he has to die every day. That's what Bible says, not myself. And then 2:20 of Galatians, crucifying the I. Everywhere, right, this comes into picture. I, ourselves, right, it dominates. I have to excel. I have to get the name. I have to be popular in office or in our neighborhood or wherever it is, even in our ministry. The danger is there. Crucifying ourselves, that does by the true disciples. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He lived that life, and that's why only he's saying that. Next, the third definition, who loves others as Jesus loves. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Christ love is, it is no doubt, it is very top, and the standards are very, very high. It is agape love, without expecting anything, sacrificial love. When God himself, when he stepped down, when he come down from eternity to time, who are we? James Irwin Baxter, he says, walking God, it is more important, more precious, and greatest thing in the whole world, that man going and walking on the moon. He's one of the astronauts, seventh astronaut who walked on the moon. Who are we? God himself, holy God, leaving everything and coming down. There itself it is showing how much he's living. Sending his begotten son for your sake and for our sake, right? Despising the shame, and he's enduring the cross. All those things because he's loving you and me unconditionally. Without any condition and without return, anything. There is no goodness in us. But still, right, he loved, he came down and he died for our sins. But if you see, right, that's one of the command here. As he loved, we supposed to love. Very, very difficult. But still, right, we have Holy Spirit God who strengthens us, who enables us to do that. That is the satisfaction. results here. And next one is fourth one. One who bears much fruit, not about the fruit, peach fruit here. This fruit is different. This, if you see the Galatians 5:22, we have all the nine things. We will be showing only one. But if it is spirit of the fruit, we will be showing all the nine. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness, all these nine, right? We'll be showing not one thing, not only loving, showing the love. Rest of the thing also, that is the fruit of the spirit. And then rest fruit of holiness. Christians, true disciples, right? They will be holy. They are separated from the world. So we'll have that fruit of holiness. Romans 15:28, sacrificial giving. When other saints are made, they sacrificially they give, they give offering, all they take care of them, they needs also. Because we are all part of the universal body of Christ. 11:30 Proverbs says, fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and who wins souls is wise. So winning of souls also, that is also fruit. By seeing this one, right? Whoever bears this kind of fruit is the true disciples. And then last one, one who will be fully trained ultimately to become to be like his master. When we are adhesive to him, when we are associated with Christ, with our master or whoever our mentor or whoever our discipler, then we'll be like him. The moment when we are with him, automatically we will be like him and we'll be fully trained. But we are in a lifetime, totally in our lifetime time. We are in the school of Christ. We'll be learning from him. God, he says, Jesus, our Lord says, come to me and learn from him. So we started learning throughout the life, right? We will be learning and we will be becoming like him. So that is one of the expectation, one of the definitions. Whoever, one who will be fully trained ultimately to become like his master, Christ-likeness. So that is about that. The summary is nothing but Christ-likeness is believer's ultimate destination. So Bible says, Romans 8:29, he predestined to the image of Christ. So he expects everyone to be like him. And Romans 12:12, have to renew our mind. Because we are not of this world, we have to renew our mind and find out what is the will of God and then doing that, showing obedience to the will of God. That is Romans 12:12. Rajan, currently, this morning also he was telling, doing the will of God, right, that pleases him. So 2 Corinthians 3:18, being transformed, not at a time, glory to glory, we will be slowly transforming and Holy Spirit God, he helps us to be like him. This is just ultimate destiny of any true disciple of Christ. This is a goal. And then, just a conclusion, summary. Whatever we studied, there's nothing but five definitions. One who continues in God's word, one who carries his cross daily, one who loves others as Jesus loved, as Jesus loves, one who bears much fruit, then one who will be fully trying ultimately to become, to be like his master. Those are the five definitions. Who can do disciple making? Now we know the gigantic word, what is disciple characteristics and qualities. Now, who can do these disciples means? First of all, we have to self-examine ourselves. Do we have those qualities or characteristics? Our Lord Jesus, he said, we have to forgive others. Whatever he taught, right, he literally followed on the Calvary Temple, Mount Calvary. He forgiven their people. Whatever he taught, it's not only the theory part. He did it practically. So really, when we cross-verify and self-examine, really do we have those qualities? Then are we really equipped, trained, and qualified? Yes, we are in the process, but are we doing all these five qualities, whatever we said? Then we'll see next week, priority, how important it is to do the disciple. That is about the first session. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts this afternoon, Lord. Help us to remember all these five qualities, Lord. We have the short memory and we easily forget the things that are the moment when we step out of the church. Lord, give us the memory power to remember all those things and meditate and study all those things and enjoy those qualities, Lord, by showing your qualities, your attributes, shareable attributes to others, Father. As we are parting from here, Lord, help us to reflect your countenance, Father. Help us to do your will, Father. Yes, Lord, it's very difficult, but Lord, thank you, Lord, for indwelling in us and taking care of us, Father. Help us to reach out to many unsaved souls and tell about the good news, Father. Lord, help us to turn those people into disciples, Father. Yes, Father, we can do with your help, Father. Thank you for all the insights that are given to us this afternoon. Till we come back, Father, keep your presence with us and bless every brother, every sister, every child of this ELBC, Father. make this LBC light and salt in this area, Louis Friedlander, BFW area. Thank you. And I ask all these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.